Welcome and Sabbath blessing to each and every one of the family that are joining us in the room, for those that are listening over the phone and also over the radio and later on the recording. Sabbath blessing on this High Sabbath, September 29, 2018. This is our part 2 review of chapter 57 entitled One Thing Thou Lackest of lesson 263. Dear ones, I would like to ask anyone of the dear family that would like to join in the opening hymn entitled I'd Rather Have Jesus. If you would like to take a verse or to be able to lead out, bubble up, dear ones.
Rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or rent. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of the vast domain or be held. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Sweeter than the lily of the endless bloom, he's sweeter than the honey from out of the comb. He's all that hunger and I'd rather have Jesus than let him than to be the king of the vast domain or be held in sin.
I'm sorry, dear Sister Cece. I'm not sure if any one of the dear brethren was able to hear, but it's down in and out. But thank you so much, dear sister, to be able to share our opening hymn. Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us. For those that are over the phone and also over the radio, we are having a little difficulty with the sound. We hope and pray that you are going to be blessed on this High Sabbath. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open with prayer.
Can I be heard? Okay, praise God. I'll go ahead and try to pray. Hopefully you don't have to go in and out. We pray. Come on.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Lord Jesus, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for giving us another day of life. Thank you for your blessed High Sabbath, dear Father God, where we can lay all things at your feet and be cleansed, dear Father God. I pray that it's not just our feet that be cleansed, but our hearts and our minds and our body. Dear Father God, that we can humbly honor and praise you, dear Father God, and edify one another, dear Father God, I pray. I pray, Lord, that you may stabilize the internet, that the service may continue without interruption. I pray, dear Father God, that you will heal the sick and the afflicted, anyone that is suffering from any maladies, dear Father God, whether it be spiritual, physical, emotional, financial, or anything, dear Father God, that is hindering them in mind, body, and spirit. Dear Father God, I pray that you continue to be with us and guide us and bless us. May you bless this lesson that we are about to partake of. Let the truth be planted in our heart and deep into the heart soil, dear Father God. May you keep each and every one of us that are here, that is listening over the phone, that is will be listening at a later time, that is listening on the radio, that is not here for whatever reason, dear Father God.
Hey, Mommy.
I pray for you give traveling mercies for any of the brethren that is abroad, dear Father God, that is away from home, dear Father God, I pray. We thank you and we love you for all the things that you have done in our lives so this past week for bringing us through, dear Father God, I pray. I pray that you will bless each of the speaker, each of the dear little ones that will be reading and participating. Please, Lord, let us not just be readers of your words, but let us really, truly meditate upon them and do them, dear Father God, not just in our household, but all around us, in the work, in school, in the fields, in the streets. Let us just show our heavenly light, dear Father God, I pray. We know that your coming is soon, and we want to be ready, dear Father God, for you to be able to use our body as temples. So be with us, dear Father God. Give us a refreshing and help us to be patient in all things and to look to you in all things. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Our opening verse for our review lesson is from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 from the King James Version. If any one of the dear brethren would like to share this memory verse and song, or would like to read, bubble up.
Isaiah 1:18. Come now, and let us reason together. That's what God said. Come now. Let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as the snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now. Let us reason together, that's what God said. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord.
Amen. So what have we learned, dear ones, and how we have grown this week? I want to apologize. I'm having a little bit of congestion and hoping that the dear family will be able to join to aid with the children today. So before we hear your questions, dear ones, let's take a few minutes to review what you have read last Sabbath from part one of our lesson entitled, One Thing Thou Lackest in Our Study Book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear family would like to take the first paragraph, bubble up.
Desire of Ages, page 518. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? The young man who asked this question was a ruler. He had great possessions and all that Christ manifested towards the children brought to him. Next slide, please. Continuing, he saw how tenderly he received them and took them up in his arms, and his heart kindled with love for the Savior. he felt a desire to be his disciple. He was so deeply moved that as Christ was going on his way, he ran after him and kneeling at his feet, asked with sincerity and earnestness the question so important to his soul and to the soul of every human being. Good master, what shall I inherit life?
Desire of Ages, page 518. Why callest thou me good, said Christ, there is none good but one, that is God. Jesus desired to test the Lord's sincerity and to draw from him the way in which he regarded him as good.
And continuing the reading, this ruler had a high estimate of his own righteousness. He did not really suppose that he was defective in anything, yet he was not altogether satisfied. He felt the want of something that he did not possess. Could not Jesus bless him as he blessed the little children and satisfy his soul want? Desire of Ages, page 518, paragraph 4. And continuing,
in reply to this question, Jesus told him that obedience to the commandments of God was necessary if he would obtain eternal life. And he quoted several of the commandments which showed man's duty to his fellow man. The rulers answered with positive, all these things have I kept from my youth up while I like I live.
Sister Yi, I will let you go up.
Of course.
Thank you, sister. Happy Sabbath to all of you there. Desire of Ages. Chapter 519, paragraph 1. Christ looked into the face of the young man as if reading his life and searching his character. He loved him, and he hungered to give him the peace and grace and joy which would materially change his character. One thing thou lackest, he said, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me.
In continuing, Desire of Ages, page 519. Christ was drawn to this young man. He knew him to be sincere in his assertion. All these things I have kept from my youth. The Redeemer longed to create in him that discernment which would enable him to see the necessity of heart devotion and Christian goodness. He longed to see in him a humble and contrite heart, conscious of the supreme love to be given to God and hiding its lack in the perfection of Christ. And on the slide it says, it has a verse from Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. Amen. And it shows someone humbly bowing before the Lord.
Okay. Desire of Ages, page 519.
Jesus saw in this ruler just the help he needed if the young man would become a co-laborer with him in the work of salvation. If he would place himself under Christ's guidance, he would be a power for good. In a marked degree, the ruler... In a marked degree, the ruler could have represented Christ, for he possessed qualifications which, if he were united with the Savior, would enable him to become a divine force among men.
Desire of Ages, page 519, continuing. Christ, seeing into his character, loved him. Love for Christ was awakening in the ruler's heart, for love begets love. Jesus longed to see him a co-worker with him. He longed to make him like himself, a mirror in which the likeness of God would be reflected. He longed to develop the excellence of his character and sanctify it to the master's use. If the ruler had then given himself to Christ, he would have grown in the atmosphere of his presence. If he had made this choice, how different would have been his future? Desire of Ages, page 519, paragraph 3. And on the slide in the middle, it says, as the law of God is a mirror to show man the defects of his character. The Review in Hell, March 1870.
One thing thou lackest, Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Christ read the ruler's heart. Only one thing he lacked, but that was a vital principle. He needed the love of God in the soul. This lack, unless supplied, would prove fatal to him. His whole nature would become corrupted by indulgence, selfishness would strengthen, that he might receive the love of God. His supreme love of self must be surrendered. Desire of Ages, page 519, paragraph 4. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good job, everyone. So let's consider this verse for our review section. Taken from 1 Peter, chapter 3, 15, from the King James Version, and it reads, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Well, dear ones, what have I learned in ways I have grown? I would like to open the mic to any one of the dear family, parents or children that would like to not only share their thoughts concerning the questions that will be asked, or even sharing how it also affect them, or they can also share the information that has been asked. I'm not really feeling so well, but by God's grace, the Lord has given me strength to be able to be here. But I would like to ask the family, any one of the brothers and sisters, to be able to bubble up, dear ones, that we can be able to aid the children. So
is the love of God the treasure of heaven Christ spoke of to that ruler?
Brother Jah, I believe yes, but that was one of the major. There were so many things that the Lord had offered this ruler. Even though that he had the riches in this world, as you saw in the reading, how he washed and saw the reactions of the children with Jesus, and he was also longing for the same thing, even though that the children were receiving it. He also realized that he was lacking something. And I really believe a new life as well was one of the gifts that the Lord was offering us.
Amen. And one of the greatest gifts that God can bestow is the Holy Spirit coming to us and filling us with the love of God.
And also how I got it in the reading was that the ruler already had a God in his heart, which is his wealth. So the Lord was showing him how could he to make a decision, whether it be God or whether it be mama. And the ruler still went with his riches. So I believe that the ruler had the riches instead of the God sitting in the place that, you know, that it wasn't supposed to be.
Rich young ruler came asking the question that we all should ask. What good thing must I do to be saved? Or in other words, how do I obtain salvation? That was a good question. Jesus' answer, of course, was the best. Keep the commandments. Or he said, keep the commandments. And the poor ruler thought, well, man alive, there must be more than 10. Which ones? Jesus didn't tell him the first 4 because I guess he figured he would deal with the man on his level to begin with. And he started quoting the last 6. Oh, the young man says, all these have I kept from my youth up. I'm pretty good, aren't I? What do I lack yet? And Jesus told him to go sell what you have and give to the poor and come take up your cross and follow me. And up to that point, everything was well. but somehow the possessions of the rich young ruler loomed big in his vision, and he thought, well, man, I can't do this. I like my possessions. And he went away sad. Sister White says that he lost his interest in heaven, and his attention or his goal in life after that was just accumulate more goods. So we need to remember that when the Lord points out a defect in our character, and that's what it was.
I'm also taking at the rich young ruler to be all of us, because we all have a place in ourselves where we don't want to let anything go. So the things that the Lord is requiring for us to let go are the things that we are still of, and those are the things that will keep us from entering to the kingdom of heaven. Also with Sister Cece asked the question, why does it feel like the good people finish last and the bad people seem to prosper? I was reading that a couple of days ago, and it was in the Bible. And I believe it's because that those who are not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, this is all that they're going to have. This is what they would consider their heaven. So, and the end result, that's it for them. And we are to, as children of God, have to let go of things of this world to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And being that Jesus had left his kingdom to come as a poor man, we too are supposed to be content in what the Lord has provided us with, because this is not our home.
Sister Cece, to the answer to your question, I do believe that the Lord said the first gonna be last and the last gonna be first. You might think that the good people finish last, but it's the other way around. The Lord said the first gonna be last and the last gonna be first. Just remember that, honey.
And I hope that I'm gonna be able to be heard. When David had a struggle with that, and he had asked that question, and I believe, and help me, dear elders and mothers and little ones, if you remember the storyline, David was given a sight in the tabernacle. When he saw the ashes of all of the sacrifices that were actually placed in the altar of sacrifice, and they used to pile it up right in the entrance of the tabernacle. And it was given as an explanation what would be their end. Even though that they have so much people that have their own God, regardless of what it is, notice that even though they have it, they still are not happy. They still don't have what makes us to be able to be happy in this world, because the only thing that manifests love in this world and in the universe is the transcript of the character of the Father. For God is love, and if God is love, then His attribute, His character, His person is a symbol of what each and every individual in this world needs. So even though they have these idols or all the things that they treasure more, you notice that they're still not happy, because the transcript of the commandment was given as not only instruction, but also is the law of liberty and the law of love. So these things that they have, they still are lacking. And the Lord had brought that to the ruler. He was drawn to him because the Lord knew that he was lacking the main thing of what makes us to be able to live in this world. And he saw it also manifested when Jesus with the children and the children with Jesus. And I really believe that this is one of the key lessons in this particular lesson. I just wanted to share that.
Sister Cece,
Amen, dear sister. And David was wondering why the righteous seem to have a bunch of troubles, whereas the wicked, they have a whole bunch of children and they're strong all the way up till the last part of their lives. And why the discrepancy or the difference between the two? And then he mentioned that when he went into the sanctuary, he understood the reason why. And we know that to those that love God and comply with his requirements are going to be saved, even though the devil's angry about that and is doing everything he can to discourage them and to give the, try and get them to give up the warfare. So the righteous are going to have troubles because the devil doesn't want to see them saved. Whereas those that are already following the devil, there's no strife, there's no trouble to them because the devil's not angry with them. He already has them in possession. And a picture of the love and the mercy of God is those that are not going to be saved, he allows them to have happiness now on the earth because they're not going to have happiness in the end. They're going to have the lake of fire. Whereas the righteous, God limits the ability of Satan to trouble them with suffering and tribulation and trials, etc. And God takes all of that devilish works against them and turns it into a victory because he allows it to refine us and to purify us from everything unlike the character of God, everything unlike the fruits of the Spirit. So that means that those who are on their way to the kingdom of heaven are going to obtain that blessed eternity through much tribulation. So the righteous have their trials, their sufferings now because they're going to have an eternity of bliss later. Whereas the wicked have their time of happiness now because they're going to be miserable in the end. The lake of fire is going to burn them up to where there's nothing left but ashes. And just as you were saying, dear sister, that's where David understood the reason why the righteous have suffering now, but the wicked have happiness now. And you're absolutely correct. The happiness that the wicked has is not anything that is satisfying and fulfilling. It's temporary. Those that love money are never content with the money they have. They always want more. That's not real happiness. It's temporary happiness. They're only happy when they gain. They're not happy after they've gained it because they want more. So it's a fleeting happiness. But the happiness that Christ offers the faithful is going to be a full, lasting, satisfying happiness. And what a joy it's going to be to enter into that joy of the Lord.
Amen. Indeed, dear brother. Well, also, what I also noticed was, as you were speaking, it came up. Now I lost my thought. Let me get back again. Okay, I got it back. Also, if you're going to notice, not only in this lesson, but the lesson that we will have next week, riches was granted to individuals not to be kept for themselves. They have a responsibility. The responsibility is greater because they were given an opportunity to help advance any circumstances for those not only with the poor, and also especially for the purpose of continuing the work of God to be able to spread to all the four corners of the earth. They're also going to have to meet the demands when it was that they could have done something with the money that the Lord had given them to bless other people. But by their selfishness and what the enemy did is to blind them by giving them his spirit to keep things for himself, and he became captive as well of the very thing that he thought he had as God. Notice that they're going to have a problem trusting people. They're going to be afraid of losing. They're going to be afraid of even when people come towards them, they're always going to be in doubt to the reason why they are coming. So there is other aspect that they suffer, which if you speak to one that is sincere, he will let you know what are the different downfall of having wealth. But we as believers, we are supposed to give the gospel to any individual, rich, poor, free, bound, for the true happiness has to be lifted. The enemy is not going to allow God's people's life to be able to be joyful in the eyes of those that he does not want to bring them to salvation. So he's going to always magnify our hardship. But those that go beyond and see that the hardship still allow us to still stand, even though we're poor, we are not broken or starving. Even though that we may not have the education, we are still striving. This is what's going to make the curiosity of the individual, but I really believe it's not a curiosity. I believe that the Lord draws the person to come even further to be able to know why you're still standing, even though it seems like everything is going against you. This is where salvation comes in, and the seed of the heart is planted for them to be able to see Christ. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us, and I apologize, I think we went over a little bit. If any one of the brethren or children or guests have any songs to be able to share, meanwhile you're getting your thoughts together, I would like to give a little information that was added in our study. It says share your thoughts, and this section is for those that are of age that will have any poem or any thoughts that they would like to share of the experience. And my son had a project in the school that he had to create a poem, and I believe when he allowed me to listen, it was so beautiful that I would like to be able to allow him to share it with you all. And it is open for any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our elder children, to be able to participate in this section. It will be a blessing to everyone and to the glory of God. So Brother Josh will be able to share a poem that he wrote.
My poem is entitled, We've Always Known the Moon is Bright. I was pretending to read myself, but if anyone else wants to read with me, they can just bubble up. Repeat the first one. We've always known the moon is bright. When nighttime comes, it's our light. It always brightens the dark night sky, and it can be seen from way up high.
Sometimes it's around, sometimes it's not. Although it changes, the shine won't rot. Once an eclipse comes, the moon is red, but when it's over, it's white instead.
Some people of the past made God of moon,
of
the moon, and quickened attention came pretty soon. This foolish worship was laid to rest, but still it's the best.
There's something brighter than the sun and the moon. That light is Jesus, who's coming soon. But when nighttime's over, the moon goes away. But when Christ comes, we'll be there to stay.
Amen. That's beautiful.
I have a little one that we were always taught when I was younger. It goes like this. Speak the truth and speak it ever, cost it what it will. He who hides the wrong he does the wrong thing still. And that's just something that I teach to my little ones about.
Praise the Lord. We are looking forward for this section as well. if there's any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or I guess that may have a testimony to share, meanwhile, I will give our dear brother the chance to be able to share the section to ask question of the children's story time, and our dear brother Dick will be able to administer.
Morning, boys and girls. Anybody have any questions before we review the lesson for last week? Well, I don't see the chat room filling up with questions, so I will go over the story, and maybe they'll be there when I get done. Let's see. That's where I should start later. With holiness in all conversation. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation and actions. 1 Peter 1:15. For the heart is purified and refined and made fit for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that is, when the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts, the tongue will be sanctified to the glory of God. We will only speak words that will make Jesus happy. You can surround your soul with an atmosphere or an influence that will be like breezes from the heavenly Eden. Once your heart, open your heart to the Lord Jesus. Guard your tongue. Let not your tongue run at random and jesting and joking. In other words, don't join in the foolish talk of your friends. These are signs that your heart needs to be cleansed from its defilement or sinfulness. Did any of you learn that memory gem that I taught you, quoted to you last week? All frivolous words, that is foolishness. All lightness and trifling are enticements or invitations of the enemy to deprive you of spiritual strength. And then Sister White says, brace yourself against this evil in the name of the God of Israel. That's volume 9, page 133. That would be well for you to memorize that and think about it so that when you run around with your friends and they start telling jokes, you can either turn away or change the conversation. Our words index or show the state of our heart, and whether men talk much or little, those words express the character of their thoughts. You talk about what you think about. A man's character may be quite accurately estimated by the nature of his conversation. You can tell if a person is a Christian or a worldling by what they like to talk about. Sound, truthful words have the right ring. Remember what the right ring was? If a person who you know to be a Christian comes to you and says, I got a joke to tell you, you know that they are not really a Christian, because Christians won't be telling jokes. A Christian would say something like this, I have a Bible verse I'd like to share with you. That is what we call a right ring. A Christian will talk about their Lord. A worldling will tell jokes. Educate yourself to carry a pleasant countenance, have a smile on your face, and bring all the sweetness and melody possible into your voice. The voice and tongue, or our ability to speak, are gifts from God, and if rightly used, they are a power for good. Or was that for God? Words mean very much. They may express love, devotion, or loyalty, praise, melody to God, or hatred and revenge. Revenge is a desire to get even. Words reveal the sentiments or the thoughts and feelings of the heart. They may be a savor of life unto life or of death unto death. Our words may lead others either to eternal life or eternal death. The tongue is a world of blessing or a world of iniquity. That's from James 5. Some are seen to come forth from their daily communion with God, clothed with the meekness of Christ. Their words are not like a desolating hail. Desolating hail ruins things like your garden and the windshield on your car. crushing everything before it. They, their words, come forth sweetly from their lips. They scatter seeds of love and kindness all along the way, and that all unconsciously, or without realizing it, because Christ lives in our heart, period. Their influence is felt more than seen. Kind, tender, compassionate words will flow from sanctified lips and hearts. Got that backwards. Sons and Daughters of God, page 180. Our memory verse again was, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Say that. All right. Thank you for listening to there. Let's see if we had any comments. What happened here? Where were we? How a joke is told. I don't know if you can tell a joke in a good way or not.
Brother Dick, we're just went into some clarification, if possible, around the ability to joke around, or because, like, in our family, between my son, my husband, or my daughters, we joke with one another. We would say something that is not harmful, but I think if we are trying to convey that, like, you know, we're not supposed to tell a joke or something like that to someone that is just coming into the faith, they're probably gonna look at it and say, it's like, that's kind of strict, that's kind of hard, that's kind of, I don't know. It just somewhat feels kind of weird that we can't tell a joke. Oh, joking around and is different.
Words, all lightness and trifling, are enticements of the enemy to deprive us of spiritual strength. You will have to be the judge there.
Sorry, Elder Rob. I was trying to be able to go up to see if they have any question to help Brother Dick. You said to back up the slide. I know I was having a problem. Okay, there you go. Okay, thank you.
I think the problem we're having is our definition of what can be termed joking. There's a difference between telling a joke versus joking or playing around with your friends or family members. Innocent teasing, you know, not selfish or extreme teasing, but innocent teasing. I don't see anything wrong in that. Because that's part of being a family. It's part of establishing that bond of affection and connection with one another. But telling a joke is different than joking around. For instance, telling a joke is a man walked into a bar and he saw three rabbis sitting at the table there. All right. Well, that's telling a joke. There's no righteous, truthful purpose in that type of joke to lead someone to Christ. It's only to generate laughter. So there's really no beneficialness to that joke. There's no growing in grace. There's no seeing the Lord in a different way. There's no increase in knowledge of the truth. So telling a joke is different than joking around or teasing one another innocently.
So basically, this depends on what you're saying. For instance, that joke that you were saying, I believe I've heard that before. I think that was more of a racist joke that I've heard it before. So something like that is not very beneficial to anyone.
I'm the last person to be able to try to give meaningful words, but I do realize that sometimes in the jesting and the joking, the enemy takes advantage of that particular time to lead a believer off guard to do what he could have never done before, because you're always watching and praying. So he takes these moments to be able to interject things that if you wasn't joking and jesting, he would have never had a chance. Now, here, there's a definition. It's a joke. A thing that someone says to cause amusement or laughter, especially a story with a funny punchline. But still, you have to remember, what would that joke lead to? Especially if we have to do the warning or to allow people to be alarmed, especially for a time like this. It's okay to be able to sit and just talk with one another in certain ways, but when we out there and we are speaking to people that may not know where we are in life spiritually or what we are for, given the gospel, the enemy can use those moments and do more injury than if you would have never used that time for that, because you never know if that's the last time you're going to see that individual or salvation is called upon him that day. Imagine if you would have thought, I should have took that moment to do this and that, but now the moment is gone. So it's just, there's a time and a place for everything, and it depends of what that joke is going to lead the person to believe, to know, or to be able to understand where you're coming from.
I have to make a confession here. When I was younger and before my whole heart was filled with Jesus, I had tons of jokes and funny stories, and I could keep people amused for hours. But what I found happened to me later on, before I invited Jesus in my heart to take control of my life, every time you say something, you're exercising that part of your vocabulary. And soon it's easy to come back with all kinds of insults and jabs and stuff like that. You don't even think about it. They're just automatically there. And I think that's a dangerous situation, because if you're always automatically at a punchline, so to speak, then there's no room for the Holy Spirit to say, let's talk about something else. You don't even think about it. So there's a lot of danger in honing your joke vocabulary.
Amen. Amen. And I believe you're correct, our sister. It develops a portion of the brain that is different than the portion of the brain that is developed in regards to truth or sharing truth. And that's more of a scientific area that I don't know how to explain beyond that. But I also think there's a difference between stories that are funny based on true life experiences versus stories that are made up or fictional. The stories that are fictional are designed that way to generate a laugh or amusement. But the real life stories that happen to be funny are real life. They're truth. So in sharing the truth, that might amuse or cause people to laugh. That's just truth. But sharing a fictional story to cause the same effect, is from a different author, if you can understand. Truth always comes from Christ. Error or fiction always comes from the devil, unless it's a parable that's based on real life experiences, or a parable that's designed to teach a lesson of truth. And so we have two different kinds of authors, and thus we have two different kinds of results. And so if we look at it from the aspect of the origin, that would help us to discern whether it's something we should be involved in or not, whether it's from God or from the devil. And anything that's from the devil, we need to avoid, because there's always a snare, there's always a trap or a pitfall connected with anything from the devil. We may not realize what it is. We may not see any danger whatsoever in it. But because it comes from the devil, we know it has to be dangerous. So look at the origins, and that can help us to determine whether it's something we should be connected with or not.
And in my experience with gesturing and joking, people use that platform to tell you the truth. So although they're gesturing and joking, it's something they really want to tell you. So sometimes it's like you take it as offensive at times.
I'm having a hard time with receiving this portion. Because I'm thinking of it as joking versus insults or sarcasm. So I'm having a hard time with this whole conversation concerning joking and jesting, because people use jokes to bring laughter, and people also use insults as jokes. But when the whole conclusion of it, it's just a whole insult that people are finding to take as a joke and thinking that it's funny, and it's really not. So, and so it's just hiding behind a lie rather than just being honest. They hide behind it and say that they're being sarcastic. But to me, joking is just telling a joke. I'm not understanding. I guess this is mainly because I'm seeing a difference in what certain things could be.
I think.
Go ahead, Daddy.
I think that the word joking is a social term when people want to create a type of amusement that engages to have an audience, and the behavior is not completely rightful for believers or in a sacred moment. I know I'm having fun around the dinner table under some occurrence or some situation, but to outward narrate a joke, I find it kind of out of place for a Christian brother or sister where the Lord and the Word is concerned. I think before we have a change of a heart, we might have been in that a scenario of telling jokes, because telling jokes is a worldly action. But when you're in Christ, it's very hard to create jokes. It doesn't come on. And the only jokes that can be given is someone that's looking for an audience or to create some type of amusement or laughter. And I agree with Sisi, it's very hard to have an understanding of it. I think the word joke is supposed to be eliminated in our spiritual life. Something can be funny that creates a chuckle, but to have a narration to create that type of amusement, I don't find it justifiable. I don't find it spiritual. This is just an opinion.
Well, dear ones, I'm going to hand the meeting back to Elder, and I hope that this will not end our dialogue. If there's any way that the body of believer can be able to help or to bring about biblical truth or spirit of prophecy to kind of aid a little bit in such a vast topic. So next week, we will continue with part two of our lesson. If you allow me, I would like to close with prayer, dear ones. I have many things to be able to thank God. First of all, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have created a platform that we can all come boldly to the throne of grace and to be able to bear with one another's burden. Father, this is a time that we need to be able to come to the but all the things that are troubling in our hearts and our mind and our soul, and to know that there is other people around us that are going through the same. Help us, dear Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can be able to see and recognize that your hands is in all of this. You are the one responsible for bringing us together. You are the one responsible for bringing lessons that we may be able to learn, not only to learn, but to be able to incorporate, and at the same time, to be able to refer it to other brothers and sisters to know that they are not walking alone. Father, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here, Father. I had a warfare in my body, and I thank you for the little bit of knowledge of the natural things and those words that you give to be able to know what to do in times of crisis. We thank you, dear Lord, on this blessed High Sabbath that you have given us, that we can come and leave all things at your feet and to give another chance to be able to start things all over again. What a God and a Savior you are to us, being unworthy every day of having the mercy that you have upon us, being that we lack so much, but you have so much to be able to give us. Help us that we can be able to see it, but see above all our circumstances and see the hands outstretched still for even the weakest of his children. Father, I pray, dear Lord, and I thank you for giving us the privilege to see the things that we thought we never was going to be able to see and come as far as we all have come, but also being aware of the responsibility to live in this age. Forgive us for our sins and iniquity. Forgive us for our weaknesses.
Amen. And you also have a wonderful Sabbath, dear sister. And we'll be keeping you in prayer that your health will return quickly. And it looks like we have some homework dealing with jesting and joking. So let us research out in the Bible and the spirit of prophecy to see if we can understand more. From God's perspective on this particular issue and determine what is pleasing to God versus what is not pleasing to God and then conform our lives accordingly. And looking forward to hearing what the Lord has revealed to you next Sabbath on this issue.